In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh, my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitchmo.
And this is Dallin. Guys, welcome on in. It's a pleasure to be here. Mitch, we are both very excited for this podcast today.
Oh yeah, soup's excited, as the kids say. Soup's.
Is that what the kids say, Mitch?
They shorten everything nowadays, so it's like soup, super, soups, you know.
Okay, boomer.
Oh, hey, easy. Like, easy with the boomer thing.
Like, you sound like you're 60 years old, man.
I do have the heart of a boomer, but, you know, I would call myself a boomer.
That's so true. Okay, any of you guys, yes, we are excited because we are nearing the end of this year, 2019, which means that we are ending a decade. The 2010s are almost over. So Mitch and I have decided to take, you know, the last 6 weeks of this year and look at some of the superlatives of this decade, the greatest of this decade, albeit players, which is what we're going to be looking at today, top 10 players of the decade. Maybe it's teams, maybe it's games, whatever it is. We're going to kind of look at the decade as a whole to reflect on the best sports moments we've had, the best players we've been able to enjoy. We're going to do that today with the players. And Mitch, this was a ton of fun to put together.
It was probably the most agonizing 72 hours of my life, just narrowing it down to 10. It was torture. Yeah. The things we do for our listeners, Dallin.
Right. It was a big sacrifice, obviously. Yeah. No, it's going to be fun and a fun conversation I'm really looking forward to having. We don't know each other's lists, so to see where we kind of had, you know, people and even if we had the same players, it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to get into that. We also have a ton of news. The normal segments are Pick 'em, Daddy's Favorite, Pit of Misery, all that. Coming ahead, Mitch, and we better start this all off with the most noteworthy news segments of the week.
That's right. Let's get it to the news.
Whoop, whoop. All right. Ooh, hello.
Yeah. Coming in a little hot.
All right. Mitch, I'll tell you, in the last week, we've learned one very important thing, right? And that is that you shouldn't hit another NFL player with that player's helmet.
That's
turns
yeah.
out to swing that at the head of somebody, not a good idea. Myles Garrett is the expert on that. He could tell you all about it. He had the incident on Thursday night, hitting Mason Rudolph in the head with the helmet, was subsequently indefinitely suspended, meaning that at the very least for now, regular season, postseason, this season, all out off the table for Myles Garrett. He's currently appealing that. He met today with the NFL to appeal that suspension. But as of now, that's his scenario. Mitch, it's been, you know, quite a bit of time. We're recording this on Wednesday, almost a week since this incident. We've had some time to kind of reflect on it, think about it. I want to know your reaction and kind of where how you feel about it all now.
You know, I was initially one of those overreactors that thought he should have been charged with assault and all that good stuff. I mean, we've seen it happen in other sports. There's an incident in baseball that the batter charged him out and took his bat with him and swung the bat, and he was charged with felony assault. Mm-hmm. There's been instances in hockey when guys hit guys with another stick with a stick over the head and they get charged with assault, and they, you know, they one guy I think even had 18 months probation. So it's happened before in sports. But after assessing the situation, watching the clip, I mean, I'm almost sick of watching the clip.
Right.
It's 6 games minimum seems right. 6 games minimum. I think they should look at, and I like the indefinite tag on it, because it he knows he's done for the year, but now there's also this uncertainty that, you know, he may or may not be playing to start the year next year, and to make him sweat it out a little bit. And I think that's a good thing for the NFL to do, to keep the indefinite tag on there. I think 6 games minimum is what he should get. This was just way beyond uncalled for. And unnecessary, and he deserves everything that's coming to him. And I think he deserves everything that's coming to him. He won't win this appeal, by the way. I mean, I highly doubt that they'll reduce anything here. This is a pretty serious offense.
Yeah, well, and part of that too, Mitch, I think, is image. The NFL doesn't want to appear weak. Obviously, suspending him the way they did off the bat, they're trying to make a power move. They're trying to show that they're in control. So for them to like completely back off or severely back off of that would not be a good look for them. So I, even if they felt like they should, I agree with you that it's pretty unlikely. This was obviously, to me, it's just an ugly moment. It's just, you know, tensions throughout the game. And undisciplined for the Browns throughout the game. And Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph get you know, are kind of wrapped up together for the last seconds of the game. And Myles Garrett just took it to the next level, a level too far, obviously. And he deserves to be punished for it. I'm okay with the suspension for now. Here's a little bit of what just came out. This is as of today. Apparently, Garrett is... and the Players Association are citing precedent to get it reduced. So in 2013, Antonio Smith of the Houston Texans was suspended for 2 preseason games and 1 regular season game for swinging his helmet at then Dolphins offensive lineman Richie Incognito. So basically what he's arguing is that 6 games, which is the remainder of the season, is excessive when you compare it to this suspension, especially considering that Smith only lost out on 1 game check since players aren't paid for the preseason. So only 1 regular season game, only 1 game check. Garrett would have 6, obviously 6 games. He's arguing that that's excessive. I think there may be a case there, Mitch, but again... like you said, I just don't think the NFL is going to back off on this, but, I'm okay with the 6 games. I'm okay with the rest of the season. You just need to sit out and you're done. And you know what, next season, like you can come back and everything's fine. But, I think you need to call it a wrap, for this season.
And that's the big reason why they need to keep the indefinite tag on it. To leave that uncertainty if he is going to come back and play next year. Because if they just take it off and they say 6 games and, you know, any playoff games that you're playing this year, then he knows, all right, I'm done this year, and then he's going to come back next year with, you know, like nothing ever happened. I think that an offense like this, and it's different from that incident in 2013, you know, he swung his own helmet at him. This was a helmet that was ripped off another player and then swung at.
And if I understand correct, and I don't remember the situation exactly, but it doesn't imply here that he actually hit the other player with the helmet. Right. So Myles Garrett, I think that step further of actually hitting, it's one thing to swing a bat at somebody. It's another person to like hit them in the head with it. You know, so hitting somebody in the head with a helmet, like that's a lot different than just attempting to do that. So the consequence should be more, but I understand the idea of, well, if he only got basically 1 game check, why do I get 6? Is that really the difference we're talking about here? I think there's an argument there.
That is the difference. One made contact, but again,
like
one
I said,
didn't.
I'm okay with him. You know, I would like him to be suspended for the rest of the season. I'm on board with that. I'm just saying, like, he may have an argument there. I just don't think the NFL is going to do anything about it, even if he did.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, interesting situation. Others involved. Marquise Pouncey was the center who started, you know, pushed Garrett to the ground afterwards, kicking and punching him. Suspended 3 games. That's been upheld. That's going to happen. Larry Ogunjobi, after Mason Rudolph gets hit in the head and is standing there bewildered that just happened, he comes out of nowhere, pushes him to the ground in the back. His 1 game suspension was upheld. Mason Rudolph ended up being fined for his part of the incident. I think that's fair as as well. I'm okay with all of this up until this point, depending on how they handle Myles Garrett's indefinite suspension. But I think the NFL handled this well. They were on top of it. And this is a league that has never been good at handling these things. So I'm pretty surprising that it seems like, for the most part, they did a pretty good job here.
Yeah, yeah. I think they... Yep, they did their job. They're supposed to govern like that, and they did what they're supposed to do. So,
yeah, let's talk about another incident the NFL was involved in this weekend, and that is the Colin Kaepernick workout. Mitch, one, just what a shit show. And I want to say that for both sides of this. I think the NFL messed up. I think Colin Kaepernick messed up. This could have been a good thing. This could have been a great thing. I think each team had different intentions with it. And in the end, I think we just missed out on an opportunity here. But I want to make sure that no matter what side of the argument you are, whether you're pro Kaepernick or against Kaepernick, like, you have to understand that both sides of this, the NFL and Kaepernick's team, are both to blame for just, you know, the events that led to what was inevitably like a 7-team workout on a high school field.
Yeah, I mean, this is another sticky one to try to sort out, because Cap's doing this to himself. He's doing this to himself. He's sabotaging his own way to get in. You got to realize you're trying to get into a professional sports league, an enterprise that has its own set of rules for this. And you can't just make up your own set of rules and expect to get a job there. And even if he did the workout, he had signed, you know, they're in that little contract deal. There's I think it's paragraph 10 that says you're not, pretty much, you know, in layman's terms, you're not guaranteed a job for doing this workout.
Right.
And for him to have the audacity and the balls to go, no, I'm going to hold my own workout 60 miles away from where you guys set this up, and that's the way I'm going to do it. Yeah, he deserves not to get a better look, because he's not. Look, sometimes you just got to play by the rules if you want to get back in. You just got to play by the rules, and he doesn't want to do that, and that's fine. And it really makes me question if he really wants to play football anymore, or he is just trying to stick it to the NFL.
It's not quite as if Colin Kaepernick just last minute decided to just move the workout.
It was
for,
within 48
just for the
hours
heck of
it.
Just for the heck of it. I mean, there were specific reasons why he didn't. One, the access, the media access to the workout. He wanted the media there. He also had issues with the injury waivers. That was another issue that he had. And here's what I will say, Mitch, to defend Colin Kaepernick here. The NFL is an institution that, if you're Colin Kaepernick, has treated you unfairly and unjustly, right? I mean, that's how Colin Kaepernick would describe the NFL and his relationship with it. So how do you expect this guy, who feels like this institution treated him unfairly and unjustly, to now they're going to put on this legitimate workout for me, and I'm supposed to just trust and follow their rules and not get screwed over again? Because I already got screwed over the first time. I already got screwed over the first time, and now I'm supposed to trust you that you're not going to screw me over again. I mean, like, you have to understand his hesitation and his unwillingness to cooperate with certain things on this level. Now, I'm not saying it's the right decision, Mitch. I'm not saying that it was the best decision for him. I'm just saying to act how he did is reasonable. And in the end, if it leads to him not getting a job, then you're right. It is his own fault for not playing by the rules. But I don't think Colin Kaepernick is desiring to come back to the NFL just to stick right back into the system that screwed him over the first time. He's just not going to do that at this point. So if this relationship between him and the NFL, if he makes a team, if that's going to work, there has to be an understanding between both those parties. And the NFL and him are just not at a point where they can have an understanding. So it'll be up to an NFL team that feels like, listen, we understand your distrust. Here's what we can guarantee you so that you feel like you're comfortable in this situation, because we want you here. And if that marriage can work between a coaching staff and an organization and Colin Kaepernick, then I think it could work. But you have to understand his hesitation here.
Sure, I do.
Like it's like getting laid off from a job, and then 3 months later they're like, "Hey, buddy, do you want to come back and come in for this like or interview sort of thing?" And like, you know, we have all these stipulations, and like you would automatically feel uncomfortable, and you'd be very hesitant about trusting these people again. You just would. That's human nature.
Yeah, no, I get that. It just feels like he's pigeon. Like if he really wants to play, he's got to stop pigeonholing himself, though. Like, he's really just putting himself in a corner and not, I mean, it. I don't know how else to say it, Dallin. I'm having a hard time formulating this all together. I just, man, it's sloppy on both sides. Sloppy.
Yeah, like I said to start, Mitch, it's a shit show, and both parties are to blame. Colin Kaepernick has a fault in this and not cooperating. I understand why he doesn't cooperate, but if he really wanted this to work, he should have cooperated more. I'm not saying just give in to whatever the NFL says, but he had to do more than obviously what he did. And it ultimately led up to 7 teams seeing his workout, and the reviews were generally positive. I think the consensus seems like he would be at the very least a solid backup. And you look at some of the backups that are playing quarterback right now, and you're telling me you would feel better about a lot of them than Colin Kaepernick, even at this present time, post this workout. Oh, I just think there's a reason for him to be in the league. It's just a matter of, like I said, is there going to be a marriage between him and an organization that can work?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I'll tell you right now, I would rather have Colin Kaepernick than Chase Daniel right now.
Yeah.
Just purely based on talent. I may not agree with a lot of the guy's stances on things outside of football, but as an athlete, I'd rather have him than Chase Daniel, that's for sure. I might even want him more than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you're looking at quite a few teams. Brandon Allen and Jeff Driskel are both guys that are currently starting on NFL teams.
He's been linked to Detroit already, so.
Like, Luke Falk started a couple games this year. So, right. Like, you look at some of the guys, Trevor Siemian. I mean, I really, like, you know, there's quite a few guys you're like, you would really rather have them at the position than Kaepernick. It's just a matter of can it work, and it's really complicated, Mitch, and to be honest, I don't know if it can work. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because I want him to be back in the league because he is talented, and I think he could do a lot of good for a team as a backup, as a fill in. And, you know, I just don't know at this point if it just too much time has passed or it's just got too muddy, to make it work.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got to keep in mind the guy's what, 31 years old now?
He's 30. Okay. So, yeah,
you're getting on the wrong side there. So
exactly. I mean, he's not 25, you know, so there's a big difference here for sure. So, all right, Mitch, let's wrap up this Kaepernick talk. Let us transition into college football a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't talk much college football here.
We should more.
I follow it heavily. Obviously, most of you know I produce a BYU sports radio show, so I'm BYU everything. And then, you know, as a result, college football a lot more than I ever was. And we have very big news to talk about because Tua Tagovailoa, you know, potentially the number one pick in the draft, had this hip injury on Saturday that looked really, really serious. As time has passed, it looks like he is going to be okay. It's not quite as serious. They're able to kind of get in there, fix whatever need to be fixed. It looks like he may even be able to be throwing by the spring. Either way, he's out for the rest of this college football season, and it impacts where he could potentially be taken in the draft.
Yeah. They said this looked a lot like Bo Jackson's injury. Which his was potentially life-threatening.
Right. I mean, and that was very serious to say that, you know.
Right. Yeah. And so, but we also have to look at the difference between now and 1994 or whenever he got hurt. Medical science has progressed quite a bit since then. So they were able to go in and fix this. So what used to be maybe a career-ending injury is now fixable with a surgery. So props to the doctors that were able to get that done. But like, as far as draft stock goes, he does drop for me. I've over the last few weeks, even before the injury, I was becoming more of a Joe Burrow guy anyway. But I think this does hurt his draft stock. I don't think this makes him slip out of the first just yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if he slips to a second round pick. I don't think he's the most desirable quarterback now. And as far as Alabama getting in the college football playoffs, this definitely puts a little bit of the fire out. It doesn't look too good for him now.
Yeah, it's just gonna be hard, because when you're an NFL team and you're spending, you know, a really high draft pick on any player, you're looking at everything, and somebody with a serious injury at this age at the quarterback position is just automatically gonna, it's just gonna automatically be a no for some teams. Some teams will just not do it, you know, they just won't. And others might, because obviously he's talented, and you look at, you know, a healthy Tua, you know, even with Burrow's emergence this season and in his eventual Heisman that Burrow will win, I think there's still an argument that Tua is a better prospect. It should be number one, but it's going to be really hard to do that with his injury. I saw Todd McShay had an updated draft big board for his top 32, and he had Tua, I think, at 13 or somewhere in the teens, 13 to 18, somewhere in there. And I felt like that was pretty appropriate with the injury. Still a first-round talent. I think a team that wants a quarterback is going to take him still, but I think mid-first-round is probably pretty safe, at least for now.
I mean, if I'm an NFL GM, what worries me is now that, like, is he fragile? Because now he's had the hip thing. He has a condition in his ankles that they found in one ankle when he hurt it last time he got hurt, and then they found the same condition as other ankles. Like, are you worried that he's a little too fragile? Do you want to go spend the high draft pick on him? That's where my NFL GM mind is going right now.
Right, 100%. And that, I mean, like I said, that's what you're weighing in that situation, and that's just going to be a tough decision to make, you know. And it's if you really love the guy, you'll take him, but you're not going to take him top five. I would be very surprised if, you know, if he still ends up as a really high draft pick. So
yeah, in my mind, he's one of those glass body quarterbacks now, and it's just if he's put with a good offensive line, then yeah, sure, go for it. You know, where he's not going to take too many vicious hits, but yeah, the questions start to arise now. That's
right,
for sure.
Exactly. It's just one more red flag, you know, to a prospect who every prospect you're looking at what the red flags are, you know. And now Tua has this one. So, but it'll be interesting stuff, you know, as it all shakes up. You have Joe Burrow rising up the boards. Justin Herbert still kind of getting some love up there. I think any of those three guys could end up as the number one pick. It just depends on the team and what they're looking for, because they're all sort of different quarterbacks. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So,
all right, Mitch, let us transition to a little bit of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a minute. It's been about, what, like a month since the season ended?
Yeah.
Nationals are champs and they're living life, and we finally have some MLB awards.
Yeah, we do. They just came out, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. I don't think there was any surprises, except for maybe AL Manager of the Year. I thought Kevin Cash might win that one, but those have been all decided. Let's start at AL MVP. We'll go through these quickly. Mike Trout, hard to deny the man, winning his third MVP before his age 28 season.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's winding up to be the GOAT. I mean, he's on a run that I don't think is going to be stopped anytime soon. Really pulling for Marcus Semien there. He had put together a great year. As an A's fan, I was really pulling for him. He finished third in voting. But it's hard to deny Mike Trout and Alex Bregman, though. Hard to do that.
Right. And I thought Bregman had, you know, you had an argument for him. And the thing that hurts Trout the most is just the winning. Just the Angels are not a good baseball team around him. So, you know, if you value that in your MVP, then, you know, there's an argument to be made in Alex Bregman. But Trout is the best player in baseball. So, you know, he's obviously deserving of the MVP.
Right.
So
right.
That makes it easy. Let's go to the National League, where my boy Cody Bellinger wins the MVP. Mitch, I was not surprised. I thought Yelich had a great season. Sure. That's fantastic. I thought Rendon was great, but this was Bellinger's award, I think, since the beginning, and he held on to it. It turns out that me buying a Cody Bellinger jersey before the season started was good luck.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I'll
take some of the bonus money that you receive from that, I'm sure.
Well, you know, there was a whole big thing, Belly or Yelly.
Right.
It was, and I honestly, I was a big Christian Yelich guy.
He's fantastic.
But, you know, getting hurt, that definitely put a damper on his voting. He didn't play a full year.
And the Brewers didn't make the postseason, and that matters too, especially when you're comparing guys that are so close, you know, that has to matter at that point.
Right. So, yeah, it was tough between those two, but yeah, Cody Bellinger, what a year for that guy. What a year. AL Cy Young, Justin Verlander. Slightly surprised. And only reason is because Gerrit Cole had such a fantastic second half. I mean, virtually unhittable in the second half. But Justin Verlander over the course of the whole year, 21 wins. He had an ERA of 2.85, made all 34 of his starts while throwing over 220 innings. It was just going to be tough to beat Justin Verlander in the year he put together. 300 strikeouts, by the way. 300 on the dot. So just another fantastic year for Justin Verlander.
Yeah, both were great. And I think you could have gone either one of those guys and felt good about it. I'm cool with Verlander, but I am with you. I there's obviously an argument for Gerrit Cole. I mean, what a pairing for the Astros, right? Having those two.
And Gerrit Cole probably is not going to be in an Astros uniform next year.
No, I mean, he's going somewhere. So, I mean, we'll find out. But, I mean, that's an interesting piece. A guy almost could have won the Cy Young out there for grabs. So,
yeah.
NL Cy Young went to Jacob DeGrom. This was kind of an interesting mix, right? You had Hyunjin Ryu from the Dodgers and Scherzer, right? That was kind of the other finalist.
Yep.
Max Scherzer always has an argument to be the Cy Young. That's pretty easy. And DeGrom goes back to back with this one. I was okay with this. I didn't think there was a really strong candidate either way in the NL. So I'm good with DeGrom.
Yeah, I'm good with DeGrom. I think that that's just fine.
Ryu had a fantastic first half, but was not as good. Had injury, you know, was out some time in the second half, so that kind of killed his argument. And Scherzer was great, but not like, you know, lights, not fantastic, not catchy, you know, eye catching or whatever. So
right.
Let's briefly talk about Rookie of the Year, Yordan Alvarez for the Astros, the American League. Good with that.
Yeah, no, great year for Yordan. 27 homers, 78 RBIs, hit .313 while only playing in 87 games. Guy was great when he was up, so I like it.
Yeah, and same in the NL for Pete Alonso. That one was really easy for me. I mean, he just hit a ridiculous amount of home runs this year. I mean, you do that as a rookie, you're just going to win the award. It's just yours, you know?
Absolutely.
Right, and as you alluded to, Manager of the Year, AL went to the Twins, Rocco Baldelli, and in the NL, Mike Schilt with the Cardinals. So AL was, I was a little surprised by that.
Well, you know,
but the Twins had a really good year.
They did, and no one expected them to win 101 games.
Right.
So
right.
And then, you know, Rocco Baldelli, a first year manager, taking a team that's expected to be around 500, if not under, and take them to 101 wins. Yeah, give the guy the award. He did a fantastic job with that ball club.
Yeah, no, so pretty good with all those, Mitch. Not a ton of surprises. I felt pretty good about the awards. It was pretty in line with what I was thinking.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
All right, is there any more news? Or that's about it, right?
That is about it, dude. That's
okay. Let's wrap this up and move into a little bit of segments. Mitch, do you want to go first with the Pit of Misery?
Yeah, let's get into the Pit of Misery. Dilly Dilly! Not sponsored by Bud Light. We didn't record last week, but Miles Garrett and Dion Waiters went in to the Pit of Misery for their own specific reasons. But this week on the Pit of Misery, I'm going to put in the guy that gave Dion Waiters the edibles. Like, this story is just, it's too funny. Like, just, the guy's having a little anxiety over flying. They give him edible, and he just winds up having even more anxiety. Whoever gave him the edibles, shame on you for, one, having marijuana on you. Stay off the weed, kids. And second, why? I mean, this guy's going to be in here forever. Just stay off drugs, kids. Stay off drugs.
Yeah, it was just a weird situation. But, you know, Deion Waiters ain't no snitch, bro. That is for dang sure, because has refused to mention who it was that gave him.
Well,
they do play in Miami. Suspension.
They do play in Miami, which is in Florida, and as I've said, Florida has no laws. So, I don't think they'd get in any trouble if they found out where the edibles came from.
Is it even illegal then at this point?
I don't know.
You know, if they're from Florida, I mean, I know it wasn't consumed. It was consumed mid-flight from Phoenix to L.A., but I mean, they are Floridians. Does that immunity kind of exist outside of state lines, or is it only within Florida?
I think it depends on which state you were in at the time of taking the edibles, because if they're in California, it's legal over here. So then you get a pass, but I don't think it's legal in Arizona.
It's not. I'm just saying, if Florida has no rules and he's from Florida, does that still apply?
Can he get off
scot-free?
No. That's not how that works.
It only exists within Florida. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought it was like maybe like a mindset thing. Like, you know, I am, I think, therefore I am.
Some
like metaphysical.
No, just stay off the weed. Yeah.
Okay, boomer. I'm just kidding. All right.
I did sound like an old man a little bit there when I did that, huh?
Yeah, that was a little bit more. But if I call you okay, if I say that one more time in this podcast, you can just punch me, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Can we just all agree
all the way
on that?
From California over to Utah?
Yeah, just a nice little just throat punch over the Great Basin. All right, Daddy's favorite, guys. It's time for Daddy's favorite.
You're not my dad.
And this week, Mitch, I'm shifting it back to basketball. And I've got a player that we need to talk about. Mitch, I'm going to call him the White LeBron James.
Luka
Doncic. Holy cow, Mitch.
Dude.
Holy cow, man.
It's almost like there's an argument to be made for who was a better second-year player, Luka Doncic or LeBron James.
I mean, here's the thing. Luka... last night against the, sorry, I think this is Monday night against the Spurs, had a 40-point triple-double, 42 points, career high, 12 assists, 11 rebounds. He's practically averaging a triple-double right now. 29.5 points, 10.7 rebounds, 9.3 assists. Mitch, he's playing, that's a stat line that LeBron James has never had in his career. We're not talking about whether at this point, and yes, it's been 10 games. I understand this isn't sustainable, but to be doing this for any stretch at his age, at his experience level in the NBA, Mitch, it is remarkable. It is remarkable. And I thought he was going to be good, Mitch. I think everybody thought he was going to be great. I who saw this coming?
I didn't. I sure as heck didn't. I mean, he's like,
Sacramento didn't, and neither did Phoenix, and neither did Atlanta. I mean, all those teams didn't see it coming.
He is on pace right now. Now, this would be a absolute ridiculous pace and performance to uphold over the course of a career, but technically, he's on pace to be a better player than LeBron James ever was. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a serious case to be made where he's a top 10 player in the NBA right now.
100%.
And you could even put him in that very high bracket of the bottom five in that top 10. Yeah, that 6-7 range, I think. Guy's unreal. Guy's unreal.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. You want to hear this, Mitch?
I want to hear
this. This is going on right now. Right now, the Dallas Mavericks are playing the Golden State Warriors, right? And mind you, okay, yes, we know what Golden State is right now. But through one quarter, they're up 44-16. Doncic has 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in 12 minutes.
He's going to do it again.
I mean, who is this guy? I'm telling you, he is the white LeBron James. That's how I'm referring to him from now on. And that's just what it is. We can call him European LeBron. We can call him white LeBron. We can call him, like, pudgy LeBron. Like, whatever we want to call him, guys. Like, that's just what he is now.
Yeah. He goes by one name. It's just Luka. And you know.
He's just Luka.
If you say Luka, you know who we're talking about. It just. Yeah,
it's fantastic. That's why he's daddy's favorite guy, because I just Luka's fantastic. If you're not paying attention, you need to be paying attention. This kid is unreal. He is literally unreal. And before I close this off, Mitch, I have something to say. I have a take. Okay. I think that Luka Doncic is the next Anthony Davis, and he's not going to stick around with Dallas. I don't think he's going to have much success as far as wins in the first 3 to 5 years of his career, and he's going to get out of Dallas. I don't know where he goes at that point, but I don't think he lasts past his, you know, initial contract period with Dallas.
I'd have to agree with you. Yep.
Okay. All right. Guys, that is it for Pit of Misery.
Whoa.
That is it for Daddy's Favorite. Mitch, what is left? Shall we get into this decades list?
Let's get into our brand new series that we're going to do. I like it when we do series. Is that how you say it?
Series. It's a series. It's definitely a series, because we're going to be looking, like, we don't, like we said earlier, guys, we don't really know exactly yet what other, you know, lists or ideas we're going to do, but we're going to be talking about the decade as a whole, and we thought the easiest place to start is the top 10 players of the decade, Mitch. So for your guys's information, we chose to only look at the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB, because that's where we felt like we had the most knowledge and didn't feel comfortable incorporating, like, all sports, Olympic sports. I mean, that gets really expansive to cut it to 10. So we just did these three sports that we feel most comfortable in. Like I said, we don't know each other's lists. Anything else about this process, Mitch?
Well, I made the list originally as if we were doing, all sports, Olympic, motorsports, mixed martial arts and boxing. I did them all. And I'm glad we narrowed it down to these three, because it was hard enough to do those three sports.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine trying to formulate a list of with all the sports. So no disrespect to the other sports, but it's that would have been extremely difficult to do. So.
Yeah. And that's not for us. Let somebody else do that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'll let them tackle that monstrosity. So, all right, Mitch. So we narrowed it down to 10. I personally had, 19, like, actual names I wrote down and then had to formulate in. So I had a couple leftovers. We can mention honorable mentions if we want or not. I don't really care either way. Where did you kind of get the list to before you narrowed it to 10?
Well, originally when I wrote down all athletes, I had 40.
Ooh.
But I did have some honorable mentions once I narrowed it down. Miguel Cabrera was an honorable mention.
Ooh. Okay.
I had James Harden and Russell Westbrook up there. Max Scherzer was another one. And I do want to, and just for my motorsports fans, and because I'm a motorsports fan, I also did have Jimmy Johnson and Lewis Hamilton on there. Because of their dominance in their respective sports, as well as Kyle Busch and Sebastian Vettel was some other motorsports guys I had written down. But really those three, Cabrera, Harden, Westbrook, was the kind of the three honorable mentions that I had.
Okay. Yeah, I had those guys in my kind of leftover pile as well. I have four names highlighted that I was, like, really considering to put in at some point. And that was Scherzer. He was in there. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Luke Kuechly.
Mm.
So, And I almost just put Keekly in so I could defend him and just talk about how everybody overthinks this guy and just forgets about him, even though he's five-time All-Pro in this decade, Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm just saying, you know. So
Luke Keekly could very easily be the Zach Thomas of this era, where he's a great, absolutely great linebacker, makes All-Pro, makes All-Defensive Team, makes a ton of Pro Bowls, and just is easily forgotten. I could see Luke Keekly being a Zach Thomas type guy.
I appreciate that, but I don't think Zach Thomas ever won a Defensive Player of the Year.
No, I don't think he did. But
so I look at Keekly like a Brian Urlacher. But the thing is Urlacher just was a little sexier.
Yeah.
So like fans cared more, you know. But he's basically that level of player.
Sure. Yeah.
You know. But he just ain't sexy. I mean, I he's a good looking guy. I don't want to like
Brian and Luke are both good looking guys, but
you know, there's just as fans, we kind of just drawn to personalities and things.
There's the sexier pick. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want Luke Keekly to ever hear this and think that I don't find him attractive, because I do, obviously.
No, he's very attractive. Yes.
And I just don't want to like close the door on any potential, you know, like relationship. I'm just kidding.
What, you want to date him?
No, I just don't want to shut the door on that. If the opportunity, you know, if a situation, you know, occurs, then, you know, perhaps, but I just don't want to like have him think I'm not interested, you
yeah
know?
Yeah,
my like, DMs are open is what I'm saying. So I'm just kidding.
Slide in there, Luke, slide in there.
Oh my gosh. All right, Mitch, let's just do this freaking list. This is ridiculous. All right, let's start at the bottom at number 10 and work our way up. I'll let you go first.
All right, so at my number 10, I have Justin Verlander. This is a very well-deserved. When you look at the guy's credentials, it's hard to ignore him. Eight-time All-Star. He was a Rookie of the Year. He was an MVP, which is hard for a pitcher to do in today's game. Two-time Cy Young winner. He was a Triple Crown pitching winner. Has won the 2017 World Series with the Astros. He was also an ALCS MVP and also won an ERA title. Only once in his career has he had a losing record. That was 2008 when he had a down year, which you could call his sophomore season. Actually, that would be his junior season there. 2008, when he went 11-17. But since then, he has posted an ERA above 4 only once. He has had double-digit losses only twice, and that was being on some bad Tigers teams.
Right.
He has failed to make 30 starts in his career only once. That was 20 starts in his injury-plagued 2015 season. 3.33 career ERA, 225 career wins. He's a two-time 20-game winner. It was hard to keep him off this list.
Yeah, no, Mitch, I am with you on that. I had Verlander at 9, so just a spot above. And for all the same reasons as you said, I mean, there's only two pitchers in this decade that won an MVP and the Cy Young in that same year, and Verlander is one of them. And you couple that with, I think what was impressive to me thinking about Verlander was the fact that he won a Cy Young in 2011, right?
Right.
And then he also won the Cy Young this year, which means that he's been able to sustain, you know, that much success in his career over an 8-year span.
Right.
You know, that's extremely impressive.
Eclipsing 200 strikeouts most years, by the way.
Exactly. So to be able to have the accolades that he had, but to sustain it throughout the decade, I mean, to me, that just it was a no-brainer to put him in the top 10 at somewhere. So I had him at 9, he had him at 10. I'm with it, Mitch.
Okay, right on. What's your 10? What's your 10?
All right, so my number 10 is Mr. Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald.
Okay.
And Aaron Donald was that, you know, the 10 spot was, you know, where I was looking at a few players, but I ultimately went with Aaron Donald because, you know, 4 first-team All-Pros so far for him in his career. He's had back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards in the NFL. He's been the most dominant and arguably the best player in the league over the last couple years. And, I mean, we're looking at a guy who his rookie season was 2014. So in this decade, he's only contributed 5 full seasons, this being his 6th. So to already be a 4-time All-Pro, win 2 Defensive Player of the Years, Defensive Rookie of the Year, all within that part of the decade, he's just clearly one of the best talents we've had in the NFL in this last 10-year span. So the respect to his name and to his continued success and career, I had to put him at number 10.
Yeah, he didn't get in there for me because of he only played half the decade. So right. it was a longevity thing for me. He hasn't been here long enough for me really to consider him. So I left him off my list. But I think a good one, you can make a very good case for that. I think if the decades were just, you know, if the decade ended in 2025 for some weird reason, you could throw him in that conversation, but, that's just not the fact. And so I could not put him in my top 10, unfortunately. So,
okay. All right.
So you had,
I had Verlander at 9. What was your number 9?
So my number 9 is J.J. Watt.
Okay.
I had J.J. Right. Watt, 5-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro, Defensive Player of the Year for 3 years, 2012, 2014, and 2015. He was also 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year, which I think, a very important award to win for his contributions to Hurricane Harvey. That he contributed to.
Yes.
Look, just the sustained excellence, though. Obviously, you know, the last few years have been very injury plagued. But when he has been around, he has been fantastic, recording 20 sacks twice, 20 and a half sacks twice.
That's nuts.
His other times, he has, you know, his other seasons, he recorded 17, 10, and 17 and a half, 5 and a half, 10 and a half. And 16 in 2018, the guy's been absolutely unstoppable. He's been a force to be reckoned with, and he's one of those true decade guys because his career started in 2011. So he's going to be playing through the entire decade, pretty much. I could not deny J.J. Watt off this list.
Yeah, no, J.J. definitely makes my list. I had him a little higher, Mitch. I had him at 7. Actually.
Okay.
I think 9's a little low when you look at what he's did. I mean, he's the best defensive player of this decade. He just is. He won 3 defensive player of the years. He was, and at his peak, he was dominant. He was just dominant, you know? And so to be the best defensive player of the NFL over the decade, and when I compared him to some other players, I put him a little higher, but I mean, he's an obvious one on here for me, for all the reasons that you said. I mean, just super solid, and like I said, dominant when he was at his peak. And obviously, he's at the latter part of his career, but you have to take the whole decade into consideration and into context.
Right, absolutely.
So, all right, so that was your number 9. Let's go to number 8, Mitch. So I had one MVP pitcher at number 9, Justin Verlander. And at number 8, I have the other MVP pitcher. That's Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw at number 8. I toyed with how to kind of put these two because I think they're very comparable. What did it for me for Kershaw was the fact that he's won 3 Cy Youngs. And Verlander won 2. And on one hand, Verlander's had, you know, like I mentioned earlier with him, the success in the career, the longevity, winning Cy Youngs, you know, so far apart. Kershaw won 3 of his in the span of 4 years, won an MVP. And since then, since that 2015 season, he hasn't quite been the same player. But still been very good, still been, you know, an all-star. I just think Kershaw's been the best pitcher of the decade. So the best MLB pitcher of the decade's got to make the list, and 8 felt right. Eight felt right because, you know, he doesn't have the championships that a lot of the players ahead of him may have.
Yeah, I had Clayton a spot higher. I had him at 7. Okay. Obviously the Cy Young's the MVP, 5-time ERA title holder.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy was just fantastic. When it comes to ERA, it's really hard for me to put him outside or any lower than 7, really, just because of he pitched 2 seasons in a row where he had an ERA under 2, 2015, he had a 2.13, and the following year, he had a 1.69 ERA. So, really, for four consecutive years, for 4 years of his career, or 4 years of this decade, he had an ERA under two. And for a starting pitcher to do that is just unbelievably stupid. I mean, just unreal. Couldn't put this guy any lower. Career ERA of 2.44. I mean, he is the Sandy Koufax of our generation. And could not, I wanted to put him lower, but I think there's a guy that I slipped in here that, is going to be a spot below him.
Yeah, no, I think, I didn't want to come across as like a homer. I was trying to be careful where I put Clayton Kershaw, because obviously I think he's just fantastic. You know, I don't know if he's like top five, but you know, I was trying to be careful about coming across too much of a homer. I felt eight is okay, seven, great. I'm with it, Mitch. Kershaw's been absolutely dominant. So
yeah. So my number eight might be a little bit of a surprise, but I think I can make an argument for him. My number eight is going to be Buster Posey.
And then you bring a giant into this.
I'm
Mitch.
Sorry, right. But look, he won the MVP. He's a rookie of the year, 6-time All-Star, 3-time World Series champion, 4-time Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, batting title. He's a .302 career hitter. The guy has bent so much to that organization over such a long period of time, the course of the decade. Really, his rookie year was 2009. He has meant so much to this organization that you cannot put him below. What really set me over for him was the championships, the three World Series titles in conjunction with the 6-time All-Stars and the MVP award, which he won in 2014. He's just outstanding defensively, outstanding at the plate, and it's hard for me. I hate the Dodgers just as much, or hate the Giants just as much as you do, but I could not keep him off the list. The guy's just been too excellent and too important to his franchise.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's fine. I mean, obviously he's been fantastic. I think he's impactful, but I just, when I think of the best players of the decade, I just am not thinking about Buster Posey. But I mean, if you are, I think there's an argument there. And like you said, three World Series. I mean, nobody else that's not on a Giants team can even say that. You know what I mean? Unless they've switched around teams. Like, I mean, of the decade, they, you know, in baseball specifically too. I mean, three World Series is that leads everybody. So I mean, he does have that.
Right.
As an argument. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. All right. So that was your number eight. My number seven was JJ Watt, as I talked about earlier. And your number seven, Mitch, was Clayton Kershaw.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. So now we're on to number six, Mitch. Now it's time to talk about your favorite quarterback in the NFL, Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Coming in at number six for me.
Okay.
And this one, Rodgers felt good here. I flipped him in the number five. I originally had him at five, the other player at six. I flipped it because here's what I will say about Rodgers. Two MVPs in the decade. Fantastic. The only other player that can say that in the NFL is Mr. Tom Brady. He does have the one Super Bowl, but that was all the way back in 2010, Mitch. And he hasn't even been back to one since, let alone been in contention to win it. And I think that hurts his argument. Now, he's obviously been one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the league during this time. And so you still have that. But the lack of championships and success there, I just couldn't put him, you know, I just couldn't put him in the top five.
Well, you and I are on the same page here. I got Aaron Rodgers at six as well. So we could talk about this one a little bit. Look, yeah, I'm with you. Just the excellence. I mean, 355 touchdown passes to only 82 interceptions in his career. And his career started in 2000. Well, we could call it 2008 because he was a backup for Brett Favre for 3 years. The winning, obviously, is a big deal. He does, the knock on him is the one Super Bowl. That's the one knock on him. The 2-time MVP, the 2-time All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler, is definitely gives him the boost. Like you said, there's only one other guy that could say that they've won multiple MVPs in this decade, and that's Tom Brady. The sustained winning, the sustained success, the sustained dominance is what really does it for me for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, like, he's been fantastic. That's funny we're on the same page here. That's good. Look at us.
That is good.
Look at it. Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it?
All right, Mitch, so that's 10 through 6. So real quick, let's go over this again. What were your 10 through 6 here?
So 10 through 6, I had Justin Verlander at 10, J.J. Watt at 9, Buster Posey at 8, Clayton Kershaw at 7, and Aaron Rodgers at 6.
Perfect. And I had Aaron Donald at 10, Justin Verlander at 9, Clayton Kershaw at 8, J.J. Watt at 7, and Aaron Rodgers at number 6. Mitch, and that leaves us with the top 5. And I got to say, I would be pretty surprised if we didn't have the same top 5.
I would be very surprised.
As far as not in order, but I mean the same 5 players.
Right.
So so let's start this off with number 5. Mitch, and who did you have?
So number 5 on my list, I had Kevin Durant, formerly of the Golden State Warriors, currently of the Brooklyn Nets, but has not played a single game for them yet, nor will he for the rest of the year. But you just look at his scoring totals over the last 4 years, never over the last 10 years, never averaging less than 25 points a game. He's done it for multiple teams, OKC and Golden State. He got the title with Golden State, which he was heavily criticized for, but can't blame the guy for going and trying to get a final. Two-time finals MVP, the MVP in the 2013-2014 season, a 10-time All-Star, 4-time scoring champ. It's hard to not have given Durant in the top 5.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's been a top 5 guy. I had him at number 4, Mitch. So, you know, same kind of line of thought there. In fact, I had it at one point. I did have Kevin Durant at number 5 instead of the number 5 player I had. That middle range kind of switched around a bit. But Kevin Durant, 5-time first team All NBA. As you said, won the MVP. Has, you know, won championships with Golden State. Has just been one of the better players. Led the league in scoring 3 years. And, yeah, just been one of the best players in the NBA, has been one of the faces of the NBA. When you think of the NBA in the last decade, Kevin Durant is one of the guys that you think of. Whether it was his on-the-court performances or the controversy, as you mentioned, of him joining the Warriors and forming the super team, like, that's integral to the decade. So you think about him for a reason, and he's been fantastic. And, yeah, top 5 for me. So I'm right there with you, Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, so out of curiosity, where was your number 5? Or who was
What was that?
Who was
Oh, yeah, my number 5. Yes. Oh, I should talk about that. My number 5 is Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Mike Trout's been fantastic. He's the highest baseball player on here. And listen, you can say what you want to say about championships, right? And I think that's a very valid argument here. And Mike Trout has 0 of those. In fact, he has sniffed 0 of those. He hasn't come close to being in a conversation to being in the World Series. And yet he is by far the best player in baseball and a top 5 player of the decade. 3 MVPs, including one this year. He's on pace historically to perhaps be the greatest of all time, and he is the most unsexy, boring baseball player icon you could have in a decade. I mean, like, who the hell knows about Mike Trout other than, like, actual baseball fans? And yet, he's historically great. I mean, he may go down as one of the greatest of all time, as you alluded to earlier. And he is just, he makes no sense to me sometimes. It makes no sense that he hasn't had the success winning in championships as he should have had. And yet he's still a top 5 player. It just is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, he's number 4 on my list. So we had our 5 and 4 yeah. swapped.
Okay.
Look, he's been an All-Star every year since 2012. He's been a lock as an All-Star every year from since 2012. Since 2012, he has never finished lower than fourth in MVP voting. He has won a Silver Slugger every year since 2012, except for 2017, which was injury-plagued. He only played 114 games that year. He is a three-time MVP. He was a Rookie of the Year. He has hit lower than 30 home runs only twice since 2017, and he was close on both of them, hitting 27 and 29 in 2013 and 2016, respectively. This year, he just topped his career best in home runs with 45. For me to put him at four almost seems a little blasphemous.
Right? I mean, it kind of does. It kind of feels bad.
Like, I want to put him way, way higher. And I think I could have put him as high as three. Because who I have at number three, I feel like I would feel okay having at four. And it's just, man, I don't like having him at four. I want him at three. But for some reason, but I can't, because the guy I have at three has the championships. Mike Trout does not. And we come back to that conversation of championships hold weight.
Yeah, and well, and that's what it comes down to for my top three, too, is that as great as Mike Trout has been, like you said, the superlatives, everything about it, I mean, he's obviously fantastic, but the fact that he hasn't come close to a World Series, where there's guys, you know, in the top three that have won multiple in stunning fashion, it's just hard. It's just hard to have him crack that.
And not to his fault, by the way.
Sure. I mean, obviously, his stats are fantastic. What he does individually is fantastic.
I mean,
the Angels have just not been able to put a competent team around him.
I mean, here's a stat that jumps out to me. Looking since 2013, he has had an on-base percentage of over 400 every year except for one. And in that year that he didn't have an on-base percentage of over 400, he still won the MVP. He's led the league in on-base percentage the last 4 years. I feel gross putting him at four. I want to put him at three or even two, but I can't because the championship things just hold him back. And you know, and that's where. And I'm just gonna confess right here on the pod, Dallin. I told you this before the episode. I've flipped on my GOAT quarterback conversation. It comes down to championships, and I've realized that because Tom Brady has more championships under his belt, that yes, he is a greater quarterback all time than Aaron Rodgers is. And I think this list probably did it for me. I think that's probably what sunk the final nail in me flipping on that. So,
wow. Look at that. Wow, that's fun. I'm glad this was transformative, Mitch.
If I can't put Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady in the greatest athletes of the 2010s, then I can't put him in the GOAT conversation, right?
That's very fair.
Over him in the GOAT. That's
right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I love it. Okay, well, then let's move on to number three, Mitch. Who did you have at number three then?
At number three, I had Steph Curry.
Fantastic. So did I, Mitch. Okay. I had Steph Curry at number three. So let's talk about Steph, because here's what I want to say to start. I think you could make an argument for him at number one. He won back-to-back MVPs, including one unanimous MVP. Like, unanimous. That's pretty insane. Obviously, the multiple championships with the Warriors, just their utter dominance of the sport, and it was Steph Curry at the face of it, revolutionizing the NBA, the three-point shot, what it meant to the game, how it impacted everything. He was a monumental player, maybe the most influential of the decade. So I think you can make an argument for him at number one. But three, I was totally fine with putting him at number three.
Yeah, I think for three is probably about as high as I would put him. He was the guy I considered flipping with Mike Trout.
Okay.
It's just, and it's only because there's one guy better than him in his specific sport, and then there's another guy in another sport that takes that spot. And I think the listeners know where we're headed with this conversation.
Right. It's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy now where we're headed.
We're not talking about Nathan Peterman. I'll tell you that.
Nate is not the, well, Gardner's the new GOAT. So, you know.
That is true.
But, yeah, I mean, the sustained excellence, you know, averaging 23.5 points a game over the decade, going as high as 30 points a game. That was 2015-2016. You look at his ability to score and pass the ball. I mean, he's been almost like the complete player, skill set wise. What you look for in a guy. I mean, obviously his rebounds aren't even that bad, honestly, for a point guard. He still averages 4.5 rebounds a game as a point guard. So, you can't put him out of the top five conversation. You just can't. And anyone that tries to is just silly, I think.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's obviously been incredible. And like I said, just the impact on the league. I mean, he was a part of a Warriors team that set the record for most wins ever, 73 wins. I mean, just everything with Curry and the Warriors and what he did in this decade has been remarkable. So top three for sure to me, not even a question. And I think three seems right. So, Mitch, let's talk about number two then. There's two guys left. What was your number two?
So my number two was LeBron James.
Oh, Mitch.
Yep.
LeBron at two, huh?
Oh, it was hard. It was...
Wow.
Like we were talking about before we recorded, the top two were so difficult to figure out what order we were going to put them in, right?
Yeah, well, let's just talk about it, because I obviously didn't have LeBron at number two. I had Tom Brady. So it's between Tom Brady and LeBron James. So, Mitch, you put LeBron at number two. So I want you to really just sell me on number one. Why is Tom Brady number one, and why does that make LeBron number two?
Look, Pro Bowls are the equivalent to All-Stars, right? So Tom Brady has 14 Pro Bowls. LeBron has 15.
All right, well, let's also consider, Mitch, that we're just talking about a specific decade. You know, we're not ranking these players of all time or in their careers. It's what they did within this 10-year period.
Okay. You want to know what they did in this 10-year... Okay.
Yes.
Okay, you got it. Tom Brady never lost more than four games, except for 2018 when they went 11-15, or 11-5. He has thrown fewer than 30 touchdown passes only three times. He has thrown more than 10 picks only three times. He has completed close to over 65% of his passes over the decade. He's won the championships. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. And LeBron doesn't have a GOAT conversation for him. And over the decade, yeah, I'm going to take Tom Brady over LeBron James any day.
Wow, any day. Any day. All right, Mitch. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with Tom Brady. I mean, obviously, he's fantastic. He's one of... There's obviously an argument for him at being number one. I mean, two MVPs, three Super Bowl victories... also, MVPs that span time. I mean, 2010, he wins one, and then 2017. He wins, you know, Super Bowls in, you know...
At his age 40 season, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's won three Super Bowls in the last 5 years. He's gone to another one, which he lost to the Giants. He's been dominant. He's been fantastic. But when I think of Tom Brady, I mean, his career started, right, in the 2000s. That was where he first kind of grew. That's the 07 perfect team, the quintessential Tom Brady. You know, that's like I said, 07. That's that time period. And when I think of Tom Brady at his best, I just don't think of the 2010s. I think of the 2000s. And I think there's an argument either way. I'm just saying I think of him in the 2000s. When I think of the best player of this decade, of the 2010s, it's LeBron James. Because that is when he came to the Heat. 4 years he spent in Miami, the first one, 2010. And LeBron James, at his peak of power, was Miami Heat through the Cavs. That was his peak. That was his climax, the top of his career. That's when he won two MVPs. That's when he won three NBA championships, including one improbable one over the Warriors. That's when he went to eight straight NBA finals. Eight straight NBA finals, Mitch. And I understand that you could say Tom Brady's been the best of all of this decade. And I don't think you're wrong in saying that. But LeBron, as an 8-time first-team all-pro NBA player, and a guy who went to 8 straight NBA finals, including pulling off one of the most improbable comebacks of all time, being down 3-1 to a 73-win Warriors team. I just think LeBron, when I think of this decade in sports, Mitch, and I think of who was the best of that era, I just think of LeBron James. That's as simple as I could put it.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I mean, call me a contrarian for putting Tom Brady there just for the sake of being a contrarian.
Like I said, you obviously have an argument for Tom Brady. I mean, what he's done. I mean, you could talk about his improbable comeback. About 28-3. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, and Tom Brady did that. Yeah, at like what, 75 years old?
Yeah.
You know, that's incredible. So, you know, for Tom Brady to do what he's done in this decade is obviously fantastic. Obviously why he's a top 2 player and why you had him at number 1. That's totally great. I think this was a lot of fun. I'd encourage you guys as listeners to compile a list yourselves and let us know. Send it to us. Leave us a voice message on Anchor. You know, we're get into our DMs on Twitter or Instagram. Text us. Let us know what your top 10 would be, how you kind of fell with some of these players. Because it's a fun exercise, Mitch. And as difficult as it was to rank these, I had a ton of fun doing it.
I had a ton of fun as well. Just to dive deep and be nerdy for a little bit. It was a blast. Absolutely.
Yeah, and like we said, we'll continue to do this. You know, with other ideas, whether it be best teams, best moments, whatever it is, and we'll let you guys know. But expect these, like I said, throughout the end of this year. So we got, you know, like I said, about 6 more weeks. So we'll have a couple more episodes containing decade lists. And I look forward to doing even more of these, Mitch.
Yeah, no, this will be a blast. This will be a blast. Right here on the spot, what do we want to do next?
I'd like to do the best teams, the best individual or season, I guess, of a team. But you know what I mean? The best team, the best season of the decade.
I like it. I'm 100% on board with you.
Let's do it. We'll do a 10, and you guys can look forward to that in the next episode.
Yeah. Why do you say episode like that?
I don't know, Mitch. I just it's just improv. It was a weird thing. Right. I'll never do it again. Okay.
No, it's okay.
Sometimes you got to just try things out in the moment.
Yeah. Sure thing, man.
And then get called out by your co-host. Oops. I appreciate it.
Sorry. I won't ever do that again.
I'm just messing. All right, Mitch. It is time for the final thing on this podcast, Mitch, and that is quick picks.
Quick picks. Let's do it. It's my favorite one. What's our punishment, by the way?
I have no idea still. I was brainstorming stuff this week. I didn't really come up with anything fantastic. So we are still in need of a punishment, and we're getting closer to the end of this, and we have no... And it's kind of almost—it's almost scarier not knowing what I'm going to have to do. I feel like even more pressure.
I'll tell you what, I got one on the spot. Let's throw this out there. So the loser has to take a cup of water from the Wheel of Water. Shout out to the fantasy footballers. Has to take a cup of water from the Wheel of Water and record the next podcast after they lose soaking wet.
Ooh. Okay.
No changing clothes. We'll have to FaceTime or something like that so that we can see each other, hold each other honest. I'm sure your wife will get a big kick out of that.
Oh, she would love to do it.
So then that way she could throw the water on you. And we'll do 3 spins. That way it's actually wet. That way you get real wet. So you do 3 spins and you take each cup of water that way.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic.
Okay.
I'm with that.
It took us 12 weeks to figure out our punishment, but there we are, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. All right. Well, I don't want to get wet, so I better...
You better win.
I better do well, because, Mitch, I fell behind by another game this week. I was only 1 behind you. I'm now 2 back. You were 11-3 last week. I was 10-4. So I need to close this gap.
Yeah, you have some serious work to do, buddy.
Yeah.
So let's get into these picks, huh? Why don't you kick us off?
All right. So let's start with Thursday night football. Tomorrow night, it is the Indianapolis Colts heading over to Houston to take on the Houston Texans. Mitch, an AFC South matchup with playoff implications. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I'm going to take Houston in a close one.
I'm going to take Houston as well. Like this team, a Marlon Mack-less Indianapolis, I think is going to find some issues there. And so I'm going to take Houston on this one.
Well, listen, and Houston got shellacked by the Ravens. I mean, just absolutely dominated in every facet of the game. I think that's embarrassing. I would be shocked if Houston doesn't come out with some fire. I mean, they want to redeem themselves and show that they can compete with the top of the AFC. And so to beat a division rival on Thursday Night Football, great step back in that direction.
Yeah, I think a good bounce back game for sure for them. After that game, first game on Sunday, we have Miami, the Dolphins. They're traveling over to Cleveland, the second least desirable city to vacation to in the United States. That's Cleveland to take on the Browns. I have the Browns in this matchup. It's just hard to pick any team over, or it's just hard to pick the Dolphins over any team. And Cleveland coming off that win over Pittsburgh, I'm gonna take Cleveland.
Yeah, as long as any more Cleveland players don't hit anybody else with a helmet, I think they're probably pretty good. This is still an extremely undisciplined team, but they're at the point in their season where it's all or nothing, because any more losses and it's a wrap, especially against a really bad Miami team. So I have Cleveland at home, feeling confident that that they'll capitalize on a big win last week with another win this week. So let's move this along, Mitch. I believe this is the garbage game of the week.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it.
This is just hot garbage. Straight hot garbage. You're a garbage person.
We have, Mitch, just a fascinating matchup of quarterbacks. Jeff Driscoll versus Dwayne Haskins. I mean, this is Mayweather-Pacquiao, am I right?
Mayweather-Pacquiao if they were quadriplegics.
Mayweather-Pacquiao, but instead it's just two homeless guys fighting over a croissant. You know, I mean, like, that's basically what this is right now.
Yeah, there's a cookie. Hope you guys fight. Let's see you guys fight over it now.
So yeah. We have a Detroit Lions team with no Matt Stafford that looked, you know, had good moments in the first half of the season, but it just looks like it's all downhill from here. And a Washington team that has won one game and Dwayne Haskins is just struggling. Mitch, this is really a toss up to me. I went with Detroit because I think they're a better team overall, but this could be an ugly game.
It's real ugly. I went with Detroit as well. This is just it's hard to trust Washington to do anything. So I went with Detroit. I think that was, for as garbage as a game as this was, I think it was kind of an easier pick.
Yeah.
To take Detroit over Washington. Following that game, we have Oakland. They're leaving the Bay Area to take on the New York Jets, who are nowhere close to being 10-6. But in our hearts, they will always be 10-6.
Yeah, they will always be 10-6 to me.
I got Oakland in this one. I got Oakland going 7-4. They're competing for that division right now. I'm going to take the Red Hot Raiders.
Okay, Mitch, I mean, you were we're getting closer and closer to this 8-8 mark, right?
Very close.
For the Raiders. And it's getting a little precarious. But Sam Darnold, let me tell you, he was pretty good last week. He was pretty good last week. And the Raiders had a tight game against the Bengals. So I'm going to take the Jets in this one.
Okay.
Jets being fine at home, that's a big reason for this. But Oakland, very much, you know, right now in the playoff hunt at 6-4, very much capable of pulling off this 8-8 record that I said they wouldn't. So I may get double wet this year, depending on how this pick'em goes. So
yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. All right, Mitch, up next we have the Giants taking on your Bears at Soldier Field. Mitch, and I hate to do this to you because this season has just been a real disappointment in all sorts of ways for you and your Bears, but I got to make this one also the garbage game of the week.
This is just hot garbage. Straight hot garbage. You're a garbage person.
No! No, 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 no! You take that back. Can you run that in reverse?
No, you're telling me, Mitch, that if you weren't a Bears fan, you would choose to watch that game?
The Bears are never the garbage game of the week.
You would choose to watch this game.
You
if you
dummy.
Weren't a Bears fan. No way. Bears fans don't even want to watch it. That's how bad it is. Okay? Just saying.
No, we just don't want to watch Trubisky. That's all we don't want to watch.
Mitch, it's been so bad that, get this, I took the Giants this week.
Oh,
just pouring on the disrespect right now. Just laying
it's
it
so,
on.
So disrespectful.
I'm just smothering it like some sour cream on a burrito. Just,
oh my God.
Spreading that around.
I don't even like you right now. I don't even like you.
Well, let me guess. Yeah, what's your shtick? You gotta be kidding me if you thought I wasn't gonna
say it right if you're gonna say it. Say it right if you're gonna say it.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, you gotta be crazy if you think I'm not taking my Bears. Of course I'm taking the Bears over the Giants. If you're gonna, you know what, if you're gonna make fun of me and you're gonna say it, at least say it right. Come on. You've offended me. You know what? I'm changing my pick.
Which pick are you changing?
Now, following that game, we have Carolina going over to the Big Easy to take on the Saints. You know what? I'm taking the Saints in this one. F you, dude.
Wait, you were actually going to pick the Panthers?
I was, yes.
Wow. And then you changed it out of spite. Well, I hope the Panthers crush them.
You are such a jerk. You know
oh,
that?
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Listen, guys, I have picked against the Panthers quite a bit this year, and they've won. And I kind of, like, for a while thought that was a lucky thing. But I'm picking the Panthers this week because the season's on the line now. After you drop the game to Atlanta, if they don't win this game and have, you know, potential at a tiebreaker with New Orleans, like, it's a wrap on the season. So I just think after an embarrassing loss, Carolina's not going to go down easy. They're going to win like a 24-21 tight game, sloppy, but Kyle Allen will be good enough. McCaffrey's going to run the heck out of the ball, and they'll pull it off. But I will tell you, I'm not feeling very confident about that.
Yeah, I overreacted. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I was very disrespectful. So, I mean, it's well deserved. So I apologize.
I will, since the picks are submitted, and I will abide by the rule. I did pick Carolina to win.
Okay. All right.
So I will stick with Carolina. But if you ever disrespect my Bears like that again, I will chop you in the trachea. That's just what's going to happen.
Listen, if you cared about people disrespecting the Bears so much, you would have flown to Chicago already and just beat up Mitchell Trubisky, because he's been the biggest disrespect to the Bears of anybody.
I go, do you think if I could afford a plane ticket, I wouldn't do that? I would. Of course I would.
Mitch is ready to go to the jail for assault just to beat the shit out of Mitchell Trubisky.
I would. I would beat the shit out of him. Truth, Bisky, my ass.
Oh, I love it. Speaking of crazy fans, we're going to Philly, right? Philly hosting
yes.
the Seattle Seahawks. Those are guys that would definitely beat up a quarterback.
They beat up their own quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, coming off a tough game against the Patriots, and it doesn't get very much easier when you have the Seattle Seahawks coming into town. Mitch, Philly is my preseason Super Bowl pick, and I just, for pride's sake, I just can't punt on it yet until it's actually over. So I'm picking Philly, because if they're going to pull this off, they got to win. I mean, if they didn't beat the Patriots, they got to beat the Seahawks. So I'm going Philly, but I don't even feel good about it.
Well, you know, I try to do things right. I tried, you know. I'm going with Seattle over Philly. But this seems like a really big trap game for Seattle. I feel like this is a game where Philly could pull this one off, but I'm going to take Seattle and the 12th man getting it done on the road in Philadelphia.
Okay.
All right, so following that game, we got Tampa Bay. They're going over to Hotlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons. I got the Falcons in this one. They've played hot the last few weeks. That defense has looked kind of scary. The pass rush all of a sudden came to life. I'm going to take Atlanta over Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they completely demolished my Panthers. It was honestly embarrassing. It really was. I just felt all kinds of bad about it. I'm going to take Tampa Bay, though, because it's the AFC South. And weird things just happen. Like, Atlanta wasn't supposed to beat New Orleans or Carolina, which just means that they're just not going to beat Tampa Bay because that's how it's dictated. That's how the gods want it, Mitch. Tampa Bay is going to win on Sunday, so I have the Bucks. That's how it works. I'm getting desperate at this point of the season, Mitch. I'm just, the reasoning for these picks are just, yeah, they're not there.
All right, go for it, buddy. Go for it.
All right, so Mitch, let's move on to two teams that are eerily similar. Denver taking on the Buffalo Bills. It feels like they're very similar, other than one has Josh Allen, the other has, I guess it was Joe Flacco, now Brandon Allen. Either way, Buffalo has the better Allen, and that Allen is going to get a win.
Yeah, I will take the better Allen over the not-so-better Allen.
Yes, and if we're being honest, the Allen rankings go Josh Allen, Kyle Allen, Brandon Allen.
Yeah, and then, well, above all of them, Tim Allen.
Yeah, of course, yes, yeah. Like 1A, Tim Allen. Like one, let me go from there.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Tim Allen he's the best Allen around.
But all Allens are just a tier below all Dallins, because one less letter, one less, you know, prestige. That's how that works.
Well, of course, but only Dallins that don't drag my Bears to the mud.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. So bitter, Mitch.
I know I'm bitter. But yes, I'm taking Buffalo as well. I'm taking Buffalo as well. Great defense, much better offense. Give me Buffalo. Following that, we have Pittsburgh heading to the least desirable city to vacation to in America. That is Cincinnati, Ohio. They're taking on the 0-10 Bengals. Give me Pittsburgh. Really easy pick.
Mitch, it wasn't a very easy pick.
What?
Because the thing is
no.
Mitch, just let me finish, all right?
Just don't say what I think you're going to say, please.
They're not going to go 0-16, Mitch. They're just not. They're not going to go 1-15 either. They're going to win at least two games. It's got to come somewhere. Pittsburgh lost an ugly game against the Cleveland Browns. They're not suspecting it. They're at home. Zach Taylor is a rookie coach, Mitch. He's never won a game in his career. They have to win at some point, Mitch. I'm taking the Bengals.
No! Oh, my God! Oh, no!
It's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point. Why not this week?
Oh, no. Dallin,
I'm telling you, these picks are off the rail, man. I don't know what I'm doing.
Even if we draw on the previous, 10 picks, you're losing this pick, Dallin.
Okay,
you're losing a game to me. Oh, my God. All right. So, okay, should I start Joe Mixon then against Pittsburgh, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know how to properly say that. I don't think it's going to be an ugly win. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a good win. It's going to be ugly. Like 17-13 or something. I don't know. But...
Ew, that's gross. Don't say that. Yeah. Don't say those numbers together ever again.
This may be a garbage game of the week, too. There's quite a few of these.
Can we hit it?
No, let's leave them
please?
Out.
Please, come on.
No.
Okay.
You just feel bad because you got called out. Now you're like, let's spread it out. It doesn't make me feel as bad.
Well, if you're going to give it to the Bears, yeah, you might as well give it to Pittsburgh.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, whatever.
Okay, all right, let me move on. Jacksonville taking on the Tennessee Titans. An AFC South matchup. We have one on Thursday night, another one Sunday afternoon. Another good game. Two teams kind of floating around. Tennessee kind of floating around, and Ryan Tannehill's played pretty well. This is a very intriguing game. I'm going to go with Tennessee in this one. I think it'll be close. It's almost a toss-up to me.
Yeah, this one was pretty close for me as well. I'm going to take Jacksonville. I think they're going to bring back a win to the swamps of Jacksonville and get it done over in Music City. Give me Jacksonville. Following that, we have Dallas. They're leaving the Lone Star State and heading over to the home of clam chowder. Best clam chowder around, I heard, is up in New England. They're taking on the Patriots. Give me the Pats in this one. Dallas has had a real up and down year, but the Pats have stayed really solid all year long. I'll take the Pats.
Yeah, I have New England as well. I think this is a pretty good game. The thing about Dallas is that some weeks Dallas looks like it's one of the best teams in the league, and the other weeks they look like they're 7-9. And it's just like I just don't know what's going to show up on Sunday. They're kind of a team that plays to the level of their opponent. So they didn't play very well against Detroit, even though Detroit's not a very good team. I have a suspicion that they're going to come out and look pretty good against the Patriots. But I mean, this New England team has been practically unstoppable, only losing to the Lamar Jackson led Ravens this year. So I'm gonna take the Patriots in this one, maybe close. But if the Cowboys beat them, I would honestly be pretty shocked.
Yeah, I would be shocked, actually. I'd be really shocked.
Yeah. So, all right, Mitch, let's go to Sunday night. This may be one of the best games we get all year. Mm-hmm. We've had some good ones so far. Seattle, San Francisco, Monday night, definitely been the best one so far. This one has that potential when we have the San Francisco Niners hosting another NFC powerhouse. This time, it's Mr. Aaron Rodgers, number 6 on the list of top 10 players of the decade, and those pesky Green Bay Packers coming off a bye week, Mitch. This is going to be a ton of fun. Jimmy G versus Aaron Rodgers. I am going to take Green Bay in this matchup.
I have to shout out a buddy of mine, Hose B, Jose Roque. You know your bro, you know your homie, but I can't take Green Bay in this one. I'm going to give it to the Niners. That defense is just way too good. That pass defense, number one pass defense in football. I know they're playing Aaron Rodgers, and he's known to cut up any defense that is thrown in front of him. But that pass defense has been so good, I just cannot give it to Green Bay. Slight edge to San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, either way, like I said, it's going to be a fantastic game.
The run game, the San Francisco run game will be the deciding factor in this game for me.
Yeah, that is true. Because, listen, as great as the Niners have been, Jimmy G has not been, like, great. You know, he's been good. He's been good enough. But it's not like Jimmy G has been fantastic. So, you know, the formula to beat them is to somehow force Jimmy G to beat you, you know, and hope that that works out. So, yeah, run game huge in this one. Yep. Just an exciting game. Exciting game. I met Jamal Williams last week at the BYU game down in Provo on his bye week. He came out. BYU alum Jamal Williams. He's been fantastic in fantasy football, by the way. I have him, and he's saved my season in a lot of ways. Great guy, too. So I'm feeling good about the Packers, Mitch, but I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
It's going to be a real good one. All right, let's wrap this up with Monday Night Football and another great matchup. We have the Baltimore Ravens heading over to the Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles to take on the Rams.
Bonjour.
Spicy. And the Rams, you know, have had some struggles this year. They don't look like the same team that went to the Super Bowl just not even a year ago. And Baltimore looks like the best team in the league as of last week. Lamar Jackson has been fantastic, Mitch, but I am going to take the Rams at home. I just feel like the Rams are at a point in their season as well. What are they? 6-4. They're 2 games back of Seattle, 3 of San Francisco, 1.5 of the wild card. They've got to string some wins together, and this is a very talented team still. This is a team that went to a Super Bowl. I think they're going to figure it out and pull off an upset on Monday Night Football.
This is going to be a very, very good game as well. We were blessed with 2 great primetime games this week. But that Baltimore Ravens offense is mucho caliente. And I really like the Ravens in this one. I'm going to take the Ravens over the Rams in this one. I agree. It is do or die right now for Los Angeles in that division. But I don't think they get it done. I think I'm going to take the Ravens in this one.
All right. I mean, like I said, the Ravens have looked like arguably the best team in the league. And honestly, like, Lamar Jackson looks like the MVP. So you're right for that. I just have a sneaking suspicion about this Rams team. I'm not giving up hope on this. That talent is still there. The formula is still there. And I know things haven't looked very good with Goff in this offense, but McVay is smart enough and there's enough talent on this team to figure it out.
Yeah. No, they definitely have enough to figure it out. It's just, man, I'm riding the hot hand here. Just riding the hot hand.
Yeah. No, I absolutely feel you, Mitch. All right, that is it for our quick picks, and that is it for the podcast.
Yeah, that's it. that is it. If you guys liked what you heard and you want to come follow us, you can follow us on Instagram at the Sports Hour Guys. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Hour Guys. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us there. And also, guys, make sure to go get on Anchor and leave us some voice messages here. We would love to hear your questions, your comments. We would love for you to be a part of the conversation. Go get on Anchor and leave us a message, and we would love to be have you as part of the conversation.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate the listens. Look forward to more decade lists as we move forward towards 2020. We're in the midst of everything with sports right now, NBA, NFL, college football. It's fantastic. It's a great time of year. Enjoy some sports. Go to a game. Watch a game with some friends. It's a good time. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
I might be an uncle next time we record this episode. See ya!